can't play tight end in this league and just work with bands.
It's not related, in my estimation, to weight training that he's not doing.
Dale Arnold.
Totally creepy. I don't need more robots in my life.
Rich Keefe.
Bro, it's like, who are you talking to? I got 5 Super Bowl wins, 8 appearances. Who are you, Josh? The reason you got a job is because of
Dale and Keith, middays.
He reached out to me on Facebook.
What the hell?
On my, you know.
Personal account?
No, God, no.
You have a celebrity account?
I have a so-called fan page.
Is that? Hold the phone.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Burying the lead.
Seriously. Been 2 years working together. I didn't know you had a fan page on Facebook.
I don't quite keep it up the way I should.
Well, Rossi offered to run it for you. You kind of turn that down pretty quickly.
Can I just ask Lucy to run it for me?
I mean, I guess
she's
kind
of our social media maven here.
I suppose she is.
What didn't she didn't exactly perform miracles with you two?
No,
but,
not at all.
You know, with Mutt, she did Mutt all she could do with him.
Made him an internet star. Way to go!
Really, a viral sensation.
I know.
Thank you, Lucy. Good job with Mutt.
Thank you.
Don't be afraid to help one of these.
Cruising with those Instagram stories.
Yeah, how about you help out our show? Maybe try that out. Try to help us out.
Just a thought here. You know. Now, I did notice, by the way, that he had an issue this morning with his Instagram story. Is that right? He didn't know how to delete or something?
Well, he did. He posted an Instagram story and then posted a follow-up. But the first one was halfway done. I think he meant to delete it and then didn't. I never taught him how to delete it, to be fair. So,
So he doesn't know.
To be fair, he's an adult who probably should be able to figure some of this stuff out on his own, though, right?
He should. It's
part of a simple Google away.
It is. Part of the process, though, you know? Part of what makes him great.
Well, you know, as long as it works.
He's out there trying it, you know, give him credit.
Sorry, I have to fix my microphone. Callahan's been in here fiddling with it again.
Well, moving it around a little bit. That's all right.
He fidgets, doesn't he?
That's all right.
The whole time he's in here, he's fidgeting. He's moving things around.
It's okay.
If he sounds like he's off mic, it's because it's over there half the time.
He's got it in his hands. He's moving it around. That's fine.
All that stuff.
That's all right.
It's already been a pretty good off season for Dave Dombrowski.
I would say so. Yeah. Bringing the guys
got
back.
Got Steve Pierce back.
I like
World
that.
World Series MVP.
And 1 year deal. So that's a
no
good example. That's a great example of not just completely falling in love with your team and saying, hey, you won the World Series MVP, so you get a 3-year deal. You're like, well, no. I mean, that wouldn't have made a lot of sense. But bringing him back on a one-year deal,
great.
It does. And now Nathan Eovaldi, and we thought after the Patrick Corbin signing by the Nationals.
That the Yankees were just going to back a Brinks truck up.
Be a ton of money. And we still don't know what the years or money are, but all the reports before were like 4 years, $70 million, right around there.
Which, by the way,
I'd be happy with that.
That's kind of what the marketplace is for a starting pitcher. Starting pitcher slash could help you out in relief if you need to. Now, Craig Kimbrell is the next shoe to drop, presumably.
Yes.
Whether or not they're going to bring him back. You also get the sense that at post-World Series high, you know, let's bring the band back together. You know, Steve Pierce going, yeah, I want to do this again. And maybe Nathan Eovaldi, yeah, I love these guys.
Yeah, could be some of that. They all seem to really get along and love each other. But it's also not a team where, you know, when they won it in 2013, you looked at that roster, and I don't think a lot of people were saying, hey, just bring everybody back and you're going to win it again. Like, you kind of knew it was, I don't want to say luck, but it was just like the perfect storm of everything, and they put it together and they won. Whereas this team has a lot of talent. Like, they have young talent. They have guys, they have more experienced guys. It's well balanced, you know, from the rotation to the bullpen to the lineup. Like, it's a team that you actually want to see come back again. And so that's why Nathan Eovaldi solidifies the rotation. You know what he can do in the bullpen come playoff time.
There's a certain irony to the fact that, and Ken Rosenthal is the one who broke the story today that he actually signed, that there's an agreement, I should say. But he said it's pending a physical. Guy who said two Tommy Johns.
I was going to say, you might want to give him a physical. Yeah.
You know, that elbow doesn't look that good. I'm just saying.
It's not without risk.
No, there's certainly risk.
I mean, he didn't pitch in 2017, and then he came in late in 2018 and was with Tampa, and then he got traded to the Red Sox, and he was great with the Red Sox. He only pitched in 12 regular season games with them, and then obviously the postseason he had a great run. What, he appeared in 6 games, I think it was, and obviously we know the extra inning game and the World Series and all that. He had a 1.61 postseason ERA. He was 2-1. Threw over 22 innings. He was great, and you needed him. But he's never thrown 200 innings in a season. Now, to be fair, he had a year where he threw 199 and two-thirds.
Yeah.
Let's round up.
Let's give him the two.
So he's done it once. And that's why yesterday when we were talking about, you know, Nathan Eovaldi versus Rick Porcello, Eovaldi to me when he's out there, I feel a little bit better about him than I do Porcello. However, Porcello a little bit more consistent, a little bit more durable. Like, he has thrown 30-plus starts multiple times, where that's only happened once for Eovaldi. So he was great in the postseason. You didn't want to go nuts. You didn't want to have to overpay. And if the Yankees, you know, brought the price way up, then it might have made sense for the Red Sox to back away. But it sounds like that wasn't the case. I read an article yesterday. I forget who wrote it. They said the market for Eovaldi had kind of dwindled down to just the Red Sox. And I was like, really?
Yeah, maybe the Yankees weren't as in as everybody said. Now, we had read prior to this that, you know, if they didn't get plan A, and they didn't, Patrick Corbin went to the Nationals, that Nathan Eovaldi and another, I can't remember who the other guy was, they were plan B.
Well, it's unbelievable. I mean, this is what we worked for all year.
Dallas Keuchel, maybe?
It wasn't Keuchel.
No.
I forget him.
It's not a star-studded list of starters this year. And they already traded for James Paxton, so they did add trade with Seattle, so they added a starter there, but the Yankees wanted another one. But by not giving the money to Eovaldi or to Corbin, that still kind of opens them up for whether it's Machado or Harper or some of these other guys. They could still certainly be in play for the Yankees.
Probably nobody in Boston right now happier than David Price.
He wanted him. Talking to him during Fortnite.
Twitch,
yeah. Fortnite. I don't know if he's been back on there. Was that a one and done for Price on Twitch?
I thought you and he were going to, you know, like, battle together or
probably
something.
Probably not. No, I don't think he'd want to play. I don't think he'd want to play
once
with me.
He's heard about not Bojack.
Yeah,
you
I mean,
what's the challenge here?
You think David Price would be in my Red Dead posse? We got room. We could use a couple more guys.
We should reach out to him.
See if he plays Red Dead. That's what we'll do. Lucy, call David Price. See if he plays Red Dead 2. And if he wants to posse up on, like, Thursday nights.
Will do. I'll ask him about Red Dead 2.
Thank you.
Okay.
And what his horse's name
that
is.
Matters.
Yeah.
Well, why you got him on the phone, ask him if he likes the fact that Nathan Eovaldi's back. Cause...
Ask him that, too.
Yeah.
That'd be good. I bet he's thrilled. I bet the whole team's thrilled. They loved Eovaldi last year.
Nathan Eovaldi, when opening day happens here and they get their rings, he might get the biggest hand of anybody out there.
Yeah.
And you've got the MVP of the American League on the team, by the way.
Yeah.
But...
Oh, you have a lot of guys.
They love Nathan Eovaldi in this town.
He is a fan favorite. And
Eovaldi
just,
better be re-signed.
It gives you more guys in that rotation, you know, with Sale, Price, Porcello, Eovaldi. Now, Eduardo Rodriguez can be your fifth guy, and you know he's never going to make it through a full season healthy, ever. It's just not in the cards for him.
Well, you've got Sale, who's had, you know, issues getting through seasons. You've got Rodriguez, who's had issues getting through seasons. I mean...
Oh, you're keeping it together with duct tape and glue and everything
Stephen
else.
Stephen Wright can make a spot start for you somewhere.
I mean, you have to go into the year, you know, with 6-7 starters. You're just going to have to. But I like bringing him back. And the other thing is, if it ends up being about $17 million a year, well, what's the going rate for a starter? It just that it seems kind of crazy, but you already have one starter making $30 million. You have another making $20 million. Chris Sale is cheap right now, but if he's on the team again, if he's on the team in another year, he's going to be really expensive. So a 4-year deal, and I also like that. They're not going nuts. This isn't a 6-year deal. He's
34, right?
Eovaldi?
Yeah.
He's 28.
he's
28 years old. So I don't mind this at all. I mean, I think he'll be 29 for the start of next season. His birthday is in February, if you want to add that to the list, Rossi, for birthday shout-outs, February for Eovaldi. But, no, I mean, you're signing him through, what, 32, 33? That's great.
I think it's a great move by the Red Sox. It's a good contract for them.
Yeah.
It's a good contract for him.
And you keep him away from the Yankees just because he was another one of those guys that could give them a little bit of an edge. You know, I think it's going to be really close in the division once again, and we'll see who else they add. But if you added him to their rotation, now it's another kind of question mark that you have to put in your rotation. I just think everything about it is pretty good. But I'll fully admit, you can't pencil him in for 30 starts. Like, that hasn't really been the case. And maybe after the double Tommy John, maybe he doesn't look back. Maybe he's going to be healthy from here
Bionic
on in.
Bionic elbow and away we go.
Yeah, could be. Could happen.
Is it possible that Dave Dombrowski and the Red Sox are preparing for at least the possibility that Chris Sale's going to be too rich for their blood, that he's going to want too long, that he's going to want too much, that they've already got a $30 million pitcher on the payroll now. We better, you know, cover all our bases here in case when the time comes we're not able to keep Chris Sale here.
Well, it's not just the money. It's just, will you be able to rely on him?
Well, that's what I mean.
I don't
know if he wants some 6-year deal and you're saying,
But Yeah, I mean, you might not want him at all, is my point. Like, you might say, all right, if he goes out and for the third straight year breaks down in August, September, you can't give that guy a lot of money. And maybe somebody will. Maybe another team will say, hey, we love what he does.
We can fix it.
Hey, April through July, there's nobody better. Like, he started three straight All-Star games for the American League? Like, both with the Red Sox, his last year with the White Sox. So he's one of the best first-half pitchers in baseball, but he breaks down. So, yeah, there's a real good chance that he's not back. Like, out of all the guys that they want to extend, like Mookie Betts or maybe Xander Bogaerts, potentially J.D. Martinez just because he has the option next year, Chris Sale would not be one of those guys. I want to see how he pitches in the regular season this year.
So Evaldi's done. Kimbrel's the next. I'm guessing that's the next box to check off here if you're Dave Dombrowski. And I don't have any feel for how this one.
Would you give Kimbrel more money than Evaldi?
Yes.
Because that's what Kimbrel's going to want.
Yes.
And so I guess the other part of it is how many years is it going to be? Because wasn't the report out there a week ago he wants six?
Well, that's...
I'm
not going there.
Please. He wants a six-year deal. I mean, we all want six-year deals. So best of luck to Kimbrel. And so maybe once that's out there for a while, then maybe that number will come back down to earth a little bit. Maybe it'll be more like 4 years. But that's also a ton of money for a closer. I mean, but he is... I mean, despite what he did in the playoffs, where it was just roller coaster save after roller coaster save, he was one of the best closers in baseball. And that Edwin Diaz thing's not going to happen.
Nope, that's right? Done.
That's gone. That's out the window. And I still think if you say, hey, here's our team, you know, here's our rotation, here's our lineup, and then the closer this year is Matt Barnes or Joe Kelly. I don't love that.
No.
Because that's the kind of thing that can derail you.
See, I wonder with Kelly, is the plan to have him in the rotation?
Oh, ooh. No, I think Kelly would be eighth inning still. Seventh, eighth inning. That'd be my guess. Although, how much does he make? Because he's also a free agent.
Right.
And so that'll really determine. I think based off of the number that he signs for, because if another team, because he has made it clear, like he'll take whatever. He said, I'll start or I'll be in the pen. Well, obviously you make a lot more money as a starter. So if another team says, hey,
unless you're a closer, and in which case, you know, you can at least approximate.
Yeah, that's true.
Good, I mean, starter money.
But top end closer is more like middle of the pack starter. And I don't know if Joe Kelly is either one of those things. Like, if you're another team, would you have more faith in him being a number four starter or your closer? Like, I don't know. I mean, maybe a number four starter, but we've seen him have all kinds of issues trying to do that. So I'd feel more confident with him just bringing him back as a setup guy. But then again, maybe, you know, other teams will overbid, then you don't want to do that.
We've already said that if we were Dave Dombrowski, I would be trying right now to see if I could get Mookie Betts to agree to a long-term deal, buy out the 2 years of arbitration and get going on that. I'm guessing he's probably working on Chris Sale right now, too.
Why?
I'm just guessing.
I wouldn't. Would you? I would absolutely not do that. I don't get tied up with him. He can't pitch at the end of the season.
I just, I'm telling you what I think is going to happen, where I think that they're working on that as well.
But
they
would
think,
you?
They
would
think
you...
they've got one of the best starters in the game.
Yeah.
And when he's healthy, he probably is.
Well, that last part's the most important thing, though.
No, I agree. Yeah.
So would you, if he came to you and said, hey, give me David Price's contract from a year ago, or 2 years ago, whenever they signed David Price, give me that contract right now and I'll sign it. Would you do that?
I'd be tempted.
Oh, my God, no. What, have you not seen September the last couple of years?
I know.
He's fragile. He breaks down. He can't pitch. He's on the DL or what? He's had Cy Young Awards wrapped up 2 years in a row and then completely lost them. I love Chris Sale. I love everything about him until it gets to the point where he just breaks down. So I would not want to give him the money. I'd be
sort of
terrified
rebounded
of him
there
money.
In the playoffs, though, didn't he?
Did he? He got scratched from a start. He got pushed back for a start. I wouldn't, just because he closed out the final game, I wouldn't get caught up in him being a reliable guy late in the year.
Put my phone down and act like a real person.
So I like that he doesn't tweet. I like that he doesn't do all this stuff. I think he's built for Boston, but he's not built for the playoffs, apparently. Not that he can't pitch in the playoffs. It's just physically, he breaks down at the end of years. And so it's happened 2 years in a row. Every time he's been on the Red Sox, the end of the year, he's not good. And if you go back, September historically for him is his worst month. I mean, that's enough of a track record for me. And he's never had to pitch in the playoffs until
so
he got here.
So it sounds as though you'd let him play out the contract and see you later. Let him go.
Unless he pitches really well. Unless he's healthy all year. And then I would say, okay, here we go. Now at least you've got some track record of making it through a whole season. But if he breaks down again, no, you can't give that guy $200 million. No way.
I think they're tempted to.
I'm telling what
I think they're thinking.
Yeah.
I think they're looking at, you know, and especially if you're Dombrowski.
Yeah.
I gave up a bunch of stuff to get him. I brought him in here, won a World Series.
Right.
This is one of my triumphs. I can't just let him walk at the end of the contract and head on down the highway. I think Dave Dombrowski is probably thinking about what would it take to get him re-signed.
But I think if he walks away at the end of this year, you still got 3 years out of him, and he was on a World Series, at least one World Series team. Who knows what happens next year? So he was on a World Series team with you. Yoan Moncada has not done much at all. Michael Kopech hasn't done much. And so I think you can still justify 3 years for those guys plus the winning rather than giving him a six-year deal where he's just breaking down. I think that looks a whole lot worse. Don't chase it. Don't try to win these deals later on. Like, I think you may have to just let this one go. Again, let's see what he does. I mean, they're fortunate enough where they don't have to pay him a lot this year, and they can see what happens.
He's vastly underpaid this
he
year.
He is. Yeah, and it's unfortunate for him these arbitration
and when
stupid
we hear
baseball
the number,
contracts.
You know, you say, oh, yeah, right, underpaid. Well, in that world,
for him, he is.
He's really underpaid.
Right. When you look at what he's making, a third of what David Price is or whatever, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, yeah, he deserves a whole lot more money based on what he has done. But it's kind of, this is another one of those arbitration, you know, baseball contracts where they're under team control for so long. And then, you know, by the time he gets to free agency, he probably won't make as much money as he should have had he been healthy for one last year or had he become a free agent 2 years ago. If the Red Sox didn't have to trade for him and he was just on the open market, he probably would have gotten a David Price contract. But the most important thing for him is how healthy is he going to be?
So in Eovaldi's case, the doctor, the Yankees doctor who originally performed the Tommy John surgery, and this is in an Alex Speer piece from yesterday, this Dr. Ahmad said, he was talking about Eovaldi. He's already demonstrated he's back to throwing as hard with absolutely no elbow symptoms. I did an end-of-season evaluation on him, and his elbow checked out perfectly on physical exam and also on an MRI exam. His reconstruction is looking so good by imaging and exam that I don't put him in the same category as that pooled group of revision Tommy Johns. In other words, because he's had a revision Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, right.
But he said, this guy seems to be different. He said the exam was good, never had symptoms related to his ligament, has an MRI that looks good, performance has been exceptional. He had not just a regular season, but an extended season with the postseason. All of that says this guy is going to be very strong going forward.
Good.
Now, this is the Yankees doctor who did the initial Tommy John on him back when he was in the Yankees organization.
Now, the way he pitched in the postseason, does it give you pause? Like, that's not the normal usage? Like, and at those high-level innings?
You mean going forward.
Going forward. I mean, he was clearly fine. He was great in the playoffs. And I just wonder, like, if that'll kind of catch up to him down the road. I mean, maybe it won't. You know, maybe, you know, you take the offseason. Hopefully they really ease him into it in spring training where you don't just, you know, throw him out there. Plus, Alex Cora was really good last year with all of his starters. Games where they
managed
cruising.
Guys really well.
Yeah.
Saved innings, saved pitches.
And I think, I would be shocked if he didn't do that again. And especially when you look at the starters that they have, all those guys have missed time recently for different injuries. So there are games where they could easily toss seven innings, and he says, you know what, it's going to be six, or sometimes even five. And you're like, yeah, that's not old school baseball, but too bad. That's what it is now, and you're trying to make sure those guys are healthy later in the year.
Got a bunch of stuff we'll talk about throughout the course of the day. The woman who was involved in the accusations against Reuben Foster has now spoken up. She went on Good Morning America this morning. We'll get into that a little bit later on. Peter King will join us, as he normally does on Thursdays. But we'll start with baseball and another box checked off for Dave Dombrowski. So far, his offseason has gone exactly according to form. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Back to Dale and Keefe on the exclusive home of the Red Sox, WEEI.
place in your mind yet?
Not yet. I mean, of course, I'd like to know ahead of time of where I'm going and, you know, being able, like you said, being able to prepare and be ready for spring training, find places to live, things like that, not trying to do it at the last moment. Then again, you know, I understand. You know, I'm just going to try and trust my agency and see what they, you know, whatever they can come up with. And, you know, I definitely don't want to be waiting all the way through spring training. You know, that was the last thing. I felt so bad for some of those guys who were going through the free agent market last year. And, you know, Cobb, for instance, he was, you know, a good teammate of mine when we were with the, when I was with the Rays, and seeing him wait out like all the way till the end of spring training and not be able to, you know, not be ready to go 100% during the season. It was hard for me to watch, but hopefully that won't happen to me.
It was Nathan Eovaldi on MLB Network about a month or so ago talking about, you know, impending free agency. Sounded like a guy who, you know, kind of wanted to get it done as soon as it was possible to get it done, and he did. You know, the free agent pitching market is kind of drying up at the moment. Jay Happ's probably the next best name on the list. That's with
Dallas Keuchel.
That's the other guy that the Yankees were reportedly considering along with Eovaldi was Happ.
Yeah, it was not a loaded group. Patrick Corbin was the name. I mean, the big stars are Machado and Harper, and then there's kind of a drop-off, I feel like, after that.
So right now the Red Sox rotation, put them in whatever order you want, but the order I've got them in is Chris Sale, David Price, Rick Porcello, Eduardo Rodriguez, Nathan Eovaldi. That's your five guys, and you feel real good about that.
I feel good. And then
you've got guys who could start for you, depending on the situation. You've got Stephen Wright and Joe Kelly and Brian Johnson.
We don't have Joe Kelly yet, right?
But theoretically,
you got to potentially bring him back. But, yeah, you have some other options. But those – because then if you didn't bring back Eovaldi, like, where else do you go? I don't think the free agent group is that great. And then so you just elevate one of those other guys. And, again, I keep going back to this, but Eduardo Rodriguez is not going to make it through – a whole season. So you need somebody else. You need like 5.5 starters. Every team really needs 5.5, 6 starters going into a season. And, you know, what Eovaldi was able to do in the playoffs too, you don't want to go overboard with that because it is a small sample, but you know the mindset that he has, and if you need to throw him in the bullpen the day before he starts a game or whatever, he'll do it. And he's good at it. And I think the teammates love him. That was a part of, we talked about how this team had, you know, the talent of like the 07 team combined with the chemistry of the 13 team. It was like, what a perfect, yeah, you know, grouping that is. And so this is one of those cases where it actually does make sense to bring back as many guys as possible from the year before.
Is this an insurance policy by Dave Dombrowski in that if Kimbrel prices himself out of the market, is Dave Dombrowski thinking, look, worst case scenario, this guy would be a hell of a closer?
Yeah, maybe.
And that price tag is not exorbitant. I mean, you know, it's certainly going to be less than Kimbrel's going to command.
Right, especially because it's one thing to take a guy when he's in his free agent year and say, hey, we're going to move you to the bullpen, because they might not like that. They might say, listen, I'm trying to make as much money as possible, and I can do that as a starter. But once you're already locked up, if he's getting, and we don't know for sure, but if he's getting $17 million a year, he said, hey, great. And you'd probably want to get the most value out of him. You'd probably want him as a starter. But if you don't have that backup plan, sure. Because, again, I'm not trusting Matt Barnes or Ryan Brazier in that spot.
Let's just call them the blowpen.
I think Eovaldi would be great. I think he'd be great as a closer. But, again, I think based off of the likely contract, he's going to start. Because
I'm just saying, assuming you don't get Kimbrel
sure
to come back.
Yeah, you have another option.
And
there,
as you point out, you don't have Kelly at the moment. I mean, if Kimbrel goes somewhere else, as we sit here right now, Matt Barnes is your closer.
Don't like that.
Don't like that at all.
No. Hate it.
You're going from one of the best closers in baseball to a complete unknown in that role.
Right. Just a complete unknown is right. And not a guy that I would feel all that confident. Even though, again, really everybody in the bullpen pitched well in the playoffs. But just the idea of them having to have a full season. I mean, they're basically a rookie closer, right? Like, not that he's a rookie in the league, but there's just a lot of guys that have that experience. They're used to doing that. And that is such an important role. I am very pro closer. I'm not saying the save stat is important because it's not, but having a dominant guy that you can bring in there, maybe it's, you know, 3 games in a row, or maybe he only pitches twice a week. Like, it's up and down. It's high leverage situations. You know, Kimbrel can do it. Again, with the playoffs, he wasn't great, but they still won. And I don't know if you want to. This team is going to be the favorite to win the World Series again. Like, barring some crazy changes on, you know, roster-wise with some of these other teams, they're the favorite again. You don't want to leave it to chance with the guy pitching the ninth inning.
The other reason I really like the Eovaldi move is, and we talk about this all the time, can player X handle pitching in Boston, playing in Boston, whatever it is?
We got the answer.
We know this guy.
Yeah.
You know, we got no, at least I have no questions about that. Mental makeup seems to be fine, handles the rigors of, you know, pitching and playing in this city. You're all set there. Check that box.
Yeah, because that's the other thing. You know, someone like Patrick Corbin, who they were never in on, by the way, but he was the top guy. If you bring him in, you don't know. He could adjust to Boston the way David Price did year one or Rick Porcello did year one, right? And those guys have figured it out, more or less. But you don't know with those other guys. So yeah, that's another reason to sort of say, hey, this guy is worth bringing back and giving him $17 million. I'm curious what other offers he got. You know, did he still have to outbid it, or did the team start dropping out?
Well, do we assume that the Yankees made an offer?
I assume, but we haven't heard anything about it.
Said that they were going to, but I certainly haven't read. And, you know, he had an offer from the Yankees, but he wanted to go back to Boston.
I really am pleasantly surprised that they're bringing him back.
Yeah.
Like yesterday when we talked about this,
gone.
I thought he was too. I thought
the Yankees were just going to back the truck up and you know, they lost out on Corbin, so we got to go get plan B, and this is plan B.
Because you even heard Houston's name at one point. You know, because it's Eovaldi from Houston.
Yes.
And so his name.
He's from Spring, Texas, home of Nolan Ryan.
Right, right. Exactly.
The second best pitcher to come out of Spring, Texas.
They both throw 100 plus. But because Dallas Keuchel and Charlie Morton are free agents, I thought maybe Houston would get involved. Philly's been involved with everybody. Like, I just thought there's going to be more teams. Maybe somebody would give him a fifth year or something, but it looks like the Red Sox are going to be bringing him back, which is great.
617-779-7937. Keith's on the cell phone. Hey, Keith.
What's up, Keith? Keith? Keith?
I'll put him on hold.
Keith? What did Keith want to talk about?
He wanted to talk about Nathan Eovaldi,
oh, yeah.
Which is why I went to him.
He said it was a great move.
He said, I can't believe that they brought this guy back. That move stunk.
He's like, I can't. Yeah, so what's the negative here?
None.
I don't think there is a negative to bringing back Nathan Eovaldi.
You're taking a risk in that he's already had two Tommy John surgeries. And you think to yourself,
sure.
Okay, you know, a third one is going to probably end things.
But I guess.
But according to the doctor, the Yankee doctor who did the original surgery, we're good.
Because if he's not in the rotation, who is? Is it Brian Johnson? Is it Stephen Wright? Then okay. Then, of course, it's a positive to have Eovaldi back. Now, I think you don't want to just assume he's going to be. So last year, he made 11 starts, and he appeared in 12 regular season games with the Red Sox, and he had a 3.33 ERA. He'd never pitched better than that.
No.
Like that's the best.
In fact, in Tampa, before he came here, he didn't pitch as well as that.
No, so I wouldn't expect those numbers. However, he is a guy with a career 4.16 ERA. If you have a 4 ERA with the Red Sox, that's a lot of wins. Like, as long as you're still out there, I mean, just ask Rick Porcello. Ask some of these guys that are in the rotation. If you can keep it to that with the lineup that they have, I don't think there's any doubt that this guy could win 15 games with an ERA of 4, and assuming he's healthy, be a big part of getting the team back to the playoffs. And then from there, allowing Alex Cora to use him and everybody else the same kind of way he did it this year. You know, you have less need for another big reliever when you keep moving all your starters into the eighth inning.
Nathan Eovaldi, by the way, in the 7 seasons he's played in Major League Baseball, has made a total of $11,919,000. So his first year with the Red Sox, first full year with the Red Sox, he'll make more than his entire career combined.
Wow.
He made $2 million last year, and we think he's about to bump from $2 to $17 million. That's a hell of an offseason.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's smart, you know, because he, coming off the year where, you know, he didn't pitch in 17, big kind of a question. You had no idea what to expect from him, and he absolutely made the most of it.
You know, the reports are, by the way, that what scared the Yankees away from Eovaldi was the 4 years.
Hmm.
That's what they were hesitant about. And, you know, that there was the executive yesterday when this first came out who said, basically, it's the Red Sox. That's it. And
4 years? I don't know.
And
why
supposedly
4 years.
The Yankees didn't want to go to the fourth year.
That's crazy. I mean, they took on Giancarlo Stanton's contract, which is like 20 years. So, like, in 4 years, is going to scare you away from a guy who's still in his 20s? I don't know. I mean, for the Yankees, like,
it's a 28-year-old 4 years doesn't seem like that big a deal to me.
No, and I understand he has the
29 in February. But.
The arm problems, but who else is in your rotation? Like, that's the other thing. You're like, all right, you could take him away from the Red Sox. I thought that alone would have been kind of valuable to him.
Eddie's on the cell phone. Hey, Eddie.
Hey, how are you? Hey, when I saw it pop up on my phone that, you know, Eovaldi had signed a contract, I was like, oh, no, I had a bad feeling that the Yankees had signed him. And I couldn't even begin to tell you how happy I am that they signed him. And let me tell you why. You know, you said it yourself, Dale, about, you know, him, you know, proving that he could, you know, pitch in this city. But I thought he was absolutely lights out last year in the playoffs. I mean, he was the one guy that they were able to lean on, I mean, through the whole playoffs. And who pitched more than he did? And if his arm didn't fall off or break down last year during the playoffs, you know what? I think it's a good investment for the Red Sox. I think he's the one guy on their staff who has so much upside. I think that I think it's a great move for the Red Sox.
I agree with you. When the Red Sox held the world premiere of their you know, season-ending video on Monday, and Alex Cora was there, and they asked Alex Cora what was he excited to see in the documentary, and I'm quoting from Jen McCaffrey's story on The Athletic. He said, "I'm looking forward to Game 3. Like I told the guys after Game 3, nobody's going to remember who won the game. Everybody's going to remember Nate Eovaldi. To see the emotions and see the guys giving him hugs and all that stuff, that's going to be cool to see." So the entire postseason video, you won the World Series. The one that excited Cora to see the most was a game they lost in epic fashion.
I mean, yeah, it was outrageous. You know, six innings, whatever it was, 90 pitches or however many pitches, 97 pitches I think it was, for him to – that was incredible. And how they were more motivated after a loss than the Dodgers were after getting a win in the series. Like, just everything you heard coming out of the dugouts, you know, you had Alex Cora talking to the team after the game. And then all the way the pitchers responded to that, all of them, like the relievers, every starter said they wanted to start the next game. It was pretty impressive to see. And so, yeah, he's getting rewarded for what he was able to do in the postseason, where he was great.
Further quote from Cora, he said after the game, "To see guys crying in that clubhouse after that game and giving Nate a standing ovation and hugging him for whatever it was, that was a moment. That was great. When I went home, I thought, this is it. Now we go. We're going to go anyway, but it was a moment I knew was a turning point in the series."
You know what's amazing is, so Nathan Eovaldi pitched in 6 playoff games for the Red Sox, and that extra inning game where he went 6 innings was the only game that he appeared and they lost. I mean, he was great. Whether he was a starter, whether he was coming in just for an 8th inning, the guy was lights out and really, I think, setting the tone. You know, that game he had against the Yankees, that game 3 against them, when he just went out there and was dominant. Because you weren't really sure. You remember you're like, all right, how is Chris Sale going to look? How effective is he? You're concerned about his arm. David Price, he didn't really shake things off until the Houston series. So at that point, you're a little worried about what the starting pitching was going to look like. And Nathan Eovaldi kind of leveled everything out and was absolutely dominant against New York.
Cora told another story about that night in L.A. He said in between innings, as the pitch count was climbing for Eovaldi, he went to Eovaldi in the dugout between innings just say, hey, you okay? Everything all right? Yeah. And Eovaldi responded by saying he was getting ready to bunt the next batter over. So in other words, leave me alone. I'm going to bunt this guy over, do what we got to do, and then
Alex
we'll just keep going.
Good, because we have to go to Drew Pomeranz if you can't keep going.
And
so
Cora,
you need to stay in the game.
And Cora said afterwards there were a bunch of players basically lined up at his office door to volunteer to pitch
the next day.
Including Eovaldi.
That's the best part of the whole story.
He became a Boston legend.
Yeah, he did.
In this postseason.
He did.
Now, you run the risk that he'll never live up to that. You know, that was the pinnacle of his career. You'll never top it. He'll never be able to be more than he was in this postseason. And you've paid for 4 years, theoretically. And it's never going to get better than what you've seen.
Well, to be honest, it will be impossible to top. How can you do it? Because you did it in a world. You won a World Series. So nothing he does in the regular season next year will be able to top that. But it will be fascinating to see what happens when they get back into the playoffs. How does he look? Can he do that again? Not necessarily 6 innings and, you know, extras, but how does he look? Is he able to, you know, ping pong back and forth between the rotation and the bullpen again?
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Peter King will join us later on the program. It's Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI.
We are the smartest, most intelligent show in Boston. Just ask us.
I like stats. I'm a stat guy. Vorp, very important to me.
And I include almost everybody on this radio station and almost everybody on that radio station. They don't know.
Now back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
Well, it turns out that the terms of the Nathan Eovaldi contract may be even more attractive from a Red Sox perspective than we believed. Mark Feinsand, executive reporter for MLB.com, said, according to a source, Eovaldi's deal is 4 years, $67.5 million. So it's less than $17 million a year.
Wow.
For 4 years.
Pretty good.
Now, it's a hell of a pay raise for a guy who made it $2 million last year.
Yeah, it is. But it's not outrageous. You know, it's not 5 years or 6 years. It's also not, you know, $19, $20 million. That's about right. I mean, if you look around the majors, once these pitchers are on their second contract, a guy that you expect to be in your rotation, especially these good teams, even if you get down to their number three, number four starter, it's kind of what it is. I mean, remember for a while it was like $1 million a win? You know, you'd have a 15-game winner. He'd make $15 million a year.
Oh, yeah.
A guy like Gil Mesh. Remember how much Gil Mesh.
I'm trying to think if Gil Mesh's name has ever come up here.
Probably
before.
Not. Maybe when he signed his contract, and you're like, that's how much Gil Mesh makes? And so that number has even gone up, because look at David Price. You know, he's not getting 30 wins. So even that has sort of changed. And what used to be the $20 million pitcher is now $30 million. So Rick Porcello is a $20 million pitcher, and now Nathan Eovaldi is under 17. I think that's pretty good.
There's kind of a misperception out there that Nathan Eovaldi is also the Yankee killer. He's 1-1 in the regular season in his career against the Yankees, and he had the one playoff win this year.
Yeah, kills him.
Against the Yankees.
He mows him down.
So he's 2-1 lifetime against the Yankees.
Winning record. Let's try to look at the positive side here.
That's why we have you. You know why? Because they overused him a few years ago. They just wore him out.
That's true. I mean, Sergio Romo, he's 36 years old, though. It's not a great list. It's not a star-studded list there. That's why Kimbrel will make a lot of money, because if a team's just looking to sign a closer, he's far and away the best free agent closer. I was also reading an article yesterday that said there might be a bit of a log jam. None of these relievers may sign until Kimbrel signs, because they're all trying to wait. And like, all right, he's going to be the highest paid guy. And all the teams that want a closer, he'll go to one, and then everybody else is going to have to respond after that, including the Red Sox.
The Red Sox did not make qualifying offers to Joe Kelly or Drew Pomeranz.
Too bad.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
They did make a qualifying offer to Craig Kimbrel, which he rejected, as is his right. If he had accepted it, he would have earned $17.9 million from the Sox this coming year.
For 1 year, though.
For 1 year,
right,
in 2019.
Exactly.
You know, just a little bit more than what Nathan Eovaldi is going to make.
And as part of that, too, if he leaves, now they get a draft pick because they offered him the deal.
Yeah, it's after the fourth round.
Yeah, so something like that.
Because of the whole luxury tax. They went over the luxury tax threshold, so the comp pick that they would receive would have to be after the fourth round is done.
How many years do you think Kimbrel ends up getting?
Four.
Yeah, because he wants six.
I think that's negotiating talk, don't you?
Be like, I want a lifetime deal. Like, all right, well,
I want 6 years and $25 million a year.
And like, well, that's great, Craig. And as soon as you are more realistic, you can come back and talk to us. Because he is, he's older than Eovaldi is, right? He's 30. He's 30 right now. He'll be 31 early next season. So a 6 year deal is just kind of comical. Like, you're not getting that.
The Twitter feed Red Sox Stats, the one that Alex Cora puts over so mightily.
You're the one that Cora runs?
We're pretty sure.
Yeah.
They tweeted out, without the postseason that he had, their guess would have been 3 years, $45 million for Eovaldi. If he hadn't had that unbelievable postseason, they're guessing 3 years, $45 million. So basically,
yeah,
the postseason gave him a year for $22
million. Yeah. I mean, He did it for the Red Sox, and he did it against the Yankees. He did it against the Astros. He did it against the Dodgers in the World Series. So that makes sense. But it's also not, to me, unless somebody is convinced otherwise, I can't really hear the argument to say that it is a gross overpayment.
No.
Because they need somebody to start for him. They just do. And with all the contracts that everybody has coming up, he's also, you can pencil in to the 2020 starting rotation, the 2021 starting rotation. And as Dale said, worst case scenario, maybe you had to convert him into being a closer. But at least he's already under contract, right?
At what is not an outlandish salary for a good closer. Now, again, your rotation right now is Sale, Price, Porcello, Eovaldi, and Rodriguez. Now, you need more starting pitchers than those five. It's only happened once that all five guys made every start.
Yeah, Bronson Arroyo was on that.
Exactly. So now you've got Brian Johnson and Hector Velasquez and Stephen Wright.
That's fine.
Guys who can come in and start games for you if they need to. And they'll need to, I promise.
Yeah.
They'll have to make starts for you at some point.
Right.
And that's even assuming you don't bring Joe Kelly back.
Right. And that's another guy. And he's probably waiting to see what happens with Craig Kimbrell. Like, that's definitely the next piece. But that spot is very important. And you hope they don't just say, well, we're covered everywhere else that Matt Barnes can close or Joe Kelly can close. Because I think that could derail a team. I really do. And even early in the season, if you're going through it and you're just blowing save, you know, one after the next, you have these leads, you go into the ninth, and then you're just like, hold on, here we go. You know, think about how many really good teams have a shaky closer. Like, off the top of my head,
a lot of them.
No, really good teams?
Oh, no,
I'm
really.
I'm saying really good teams, though.
How many teams have a shaky, yeah.
A ton of them. But, the elite groups, you know, you just think about all the great Yankee teams with Mariano Rivera closing. And they may not be these perennial powerhouse closers, but they put it together for that year. You know, whether it's, you know, Jason Isringhausen or Brad Lidge, they put it together for that year, and that team, they just have that confidence that if they have the lead after eight innings, they're going to win the game. But if you have somebody like Matt Barnes, I don't think you're going to have that same feeling at all.
I can promise you, not that he'd ever say this publicly, but I can promise you Alex Cora does not love the idea of Matt Barnes being his closer going into the season.
John Farrell would. John Farrell loved Matt Barnes.
He'd love him some
Matt Barnes.
There was
a lot of Matt Barnes.
Might be a reason why he's not here.
Could be.
Might be part of that whole thing. Could I can promise you Cora is not thrilled with that idea.
No, he's not. And you can't do... You can't do closer by committee.
Oh, that didn't
work
at all.
We've seen it. It doesn't work. It's not what you need to find a guy. And I don't know if they have somebody in their organization that could do it. It doesn't sound like they have a lot of great pitching prospects. Because every once in a while, you'll get a guy kind of comes out of nowhere and is a lights out closer for you. But that's also tough to rely on.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Peter King will join us at 12:30. We are going to talk a little bit. 11:30, excuse me. My mistake. We'll join us at the bottom of the hour at 11:30. We are going to talk a little bit about the Patriots and Rob Gronkowski. By the way, both your quarterback and your tight end were back on the injury report yesterday.
Yeah, of course.
Despite what Mutt told you this morning, it is in fact the injury report. He was making this huge deal about it. It's not the injury report till Friday.
He kept calling it the practice report.
It's the practice report.
Well, they're both right.
It says
it's the practice
injury report. So
it's actually, if we want to get technical, I think it's the participation report. I think it is.
All right, we're putting a poll up.
No, we're not.
No, it's
not worth it.
And we're running it for 10 days.
I think they're all correct. You can call it whatever you want. It's the participation report, the injury report, the practice report. They're all the same thing.
They both were on it yesterday, which is not a good feeling for Patriots fans. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.